Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. It is showtime. As always, he's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And JoJo, we start today in remembrance of what happened in our country back in 2001. It was about now that I remember being in eighth grade where our art teacher came running in our room saying that terrorists had hit New York. And that was when it was all becoming very, very real.
Really?
Know? Yep. I mean, I guess it was maybe a little earlier, but.
No, the fact you came running in like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. It was, I mean, it was. Wow. I mean, let's see. In eighth grade, I was 14 years old. And, you know, obviously it was a lot to grasp at that time.
Yeah.
We had a special assembly not too long after that. And as you can imagine, the rest of the day was not normal. We just, you know, and our teachers felt that, you know, this was history and things that, as hard as it was, we, you know, as eighth graders needed to witness. So we just watched it on TV and watched everything unfold.
I was taking my daughter to preschool. We were watching the Rugrats. And a friend of mine called and said, you need to turn on NBC right now. So turn on there literally 5 seconds before the second plane hit the tower and watching Matt Lauer. I'm like, what's going on here? And so I'm watching it. And all of a sudden, my daughter is just poking me in the arm. And she says, hey, Daddy, where are the Rugrats? And I was like, oh, yeah, I need to turn the TV. So I turned the TV back to the Rugrats. And then that day is the reason wherever I go, I carry an extra set of clothes with me in my car.
Yeah.
Because I was working at Channel 2 at the time. I was a cameraman. I didn't go home for 3 days.
I believe it.
And it was awful. It was very awful. We should never forget. And we're never going to forget. And it's not remember just today, but every single day of what happened.
Yeah. And, you know, that's every year, every 9/11, you know, I may go down a rabbit hole of reading about things and watching on YouTube. And I think I do that because I don't want to forget. You
yeah,
know,
that's like, right.
That's one of those things, as horrible as it was, you know, I don't ever want to forget that day because of what it signifies and, you know, where our country's come since then, where our world has come since then. And look, we can all sit here and agree, whatever side you're on, it ain't perfect. I mean, there's a lot of...
Constantine, what'd you do last night?
I drank like a lot of people.
Yes.
But you know, and you know, one thing that you know, we do on this show, you know, how we end the show and you know, talking about mental health and suicide prevention, and I feel like it's even more prevalent on an anniversary like this, because I actually had a cousin, or he had married into the family, that worked in the trade centers and Ooh. Was literally walking. He was late for work that day. I mean, how many stories have you heard about that? And he was walking to work when the planes hit.
Ugh.
And Awful. Basically watched, you know, never got in the building, and most of his office was killed. And he ended up taking his own life a few months later because, you know, you get survivor's guilt and things like that. And so, you know, our message is, you go through something tragic like that, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason for everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're right, man.
You know, that's why we're here, and that's why we deliver the message at the end of the show, you know, 988 on your cell phone, you know. But obviously, it's the longer time goes, you know, it gets a different perspective. But I just, you know, never forget.
No, don't.
Those words ring true, for
and
sure.
And the collateral damage after that for the workers at 9/11 and the families and the on and on and on. So, yeah, never forget and always remember. And it's easy to say that, you know, and, you know, January the 7th or February the 4th, sure. You know, still remember this.
But I will always remember a few – I can't remember if it was the next day or a few days later, George W. Bush, the president, you know, being at Ground Zero and, you know, hearing the guy go, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
And he says, I can hear you. And the people that knocked those buildings down are going to hear all of us very soon.
That's right.
And like, those words still ring true. And, you know, real quick, we're going to get into sports. We're going to have fun like we always do, but I just felt this was important. So I mentioned I was in eighth grade. The right. eighth grade trip every year at FRA was to go to New York City. And down the eighth grade hallway was pictures of every eighth grade class in New York on top of the trade centers in the observation deck. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so my class was the first one not to get that photo. We as a class, because immediately, you know, they're like, we're not doing New York this year. And we as a class were like, no, we want to go. We want to go to New York.
What time of year do you usually go?
April.
April.
So, I mean, it would have, you know, it was several months after. And so there were big meetings. Like, I remember the parents, you know, kind of, there were some parents that were like, no, they, you know, they don't need to go. And then, but a majority were like, no, if they want to go, they, this is where we need to go. You know, they need to see this. And so we ended up going, we drove, we did buses from here up to New York.
Gosh. And that's fun though.
Oh, it was fun. Oh, yeah. It was great. I mean, it was a fun trip. And so our class picture was in front of Ground Zero. That's where we did. Oh. And we went to Ground Zero.
So it's still in the hallway at FRA?
Yeah, I think so. I still have pictures. And so I went to the museum, you know, a few years ago, and like that was my first time at that, and it's heavy. I mean, it is heavy.
Right.
Like,
I'm sure.
But everybody should do it. And but I will never forget, you know, eighth grader standing there at the chain link fence looking, you know, at this giant hole at this point. You know, the Iron Cross was still there. Yeah. And all the, you know, but that, I mean, they were still pulling fire trucks and things out, you know, people out, you know, at that point. So it was surreal. It was something I'll never forget. But, you know, our thoughts, our prayers with everybody that's still affected to this day. 23 years,
you know,
and it's crazy that it's 23 years.
Yeah. And it's doubly hits hard here because we have Fort Campbell in our backyard.
Yeah.
And so spent a lot of time, you know, once the war started over there, up there with soldiers and families. And it was just something I'll never forget. And it's just on and on and on, man. And that's why we would take time to remember.
You know, a texter, 6438, says it brings back terrible memories, but it also brings back fond memories of this country coming together as one. And, you know, that's the thing that I want people to pay attention to, is how we all came together. And it shouldn't take a tragedy to bring everybody together. I'm not going down a political road. I'm just saying, keep that in mind.
Do it.
Keep that in perspective.
Do it. Do it, Chase. Do
We're not going to do it. It's not going to be tremendous. We're not going down these roads.
Do it.
Sorry. But anyway, we are up and running here on this Wednesday, and we are going to have fun. We are going to talk sports. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We keep it real on this show. That's how we roll. But
that's right.
Okay, so we're at Wednesday now. Have Titans fans started to forgive Will Levis and go into game week and go, all right, let's just see if there's a bounce back, or do people still?
I think it's worse now. I think it's worse now than it was Sunday night, because you get over the emotions, and then once the emotions go, you think, oh, I'm going to calm down, and you start thinking about it again, and it's just awful. I recommend not watching the Will Levis, I love that Rex wrote them, call it the miracle flip, you know, but miracle to me connotates something good, like the Music City Miracle. That's something good. There was nothing good about the miracle flip. It was just awful, awful, awful. And I think the more we think about that, it's like, oh gosh. And now it's like we're 0-1. What are we going to see Sunday? The same thing. I think the problem's going to be on Sunday, Chase McCabe, is that Levis comes out and tries to overdo it.
I'm worried about that too.
That's the problem.
I'm worried that he's gonna try and overcompensate. And
for men,
why did I know that as soon as I said overcompensate, you were going to do that?
And for men, no, you're right. I mean, it's a legitimate concern, man.
It just feels like with him that when things go awry and he goes into panic mode, he just, his brain shut off. Like, I mean, I'm trying right. to be nice how I say that, but like I do think he, you know, he knows football, but I mean, it just that's how it felt. It's like, dude, just take the sack. And you know, as I've heard other Jared said it, other people have said it. You know, they've tried to the previous coaching staff, this coaching staff have tried to be like, dude, slide. Stop going in like a bull in a china shop when, you know, you're running the ball. Just get down and slide. Protect yourself. He won't do it.
No, he's not.
He's and
not
he's going never to. Going to.
No, you're right.
He won't do it. And so if he's not going to listen to that coaching, do you think he's going to listen to the coaching of, hey, dude, when you're in that situation again, just take the sack?
Yeah, he's not. No, he's not going to do it because he's trying to do too much and help this team.
Hero ball, man.
He feels like he's going to got to do too much to help this football team out. When not, and I thought the game plan early on would get the ball out of his hands. And I tell you, Nick, when we talked to Nick Holtz, the de facto offensive coordinator, even though he doesn't call plays, back in August during camp about the first series versus the Niners in the preseason game was kind of the template for the first half of the season. It's like, get the ball out of his hands quickly. Quickly. If you got to do a 5-7 stop drop, but no, you got your one or two, and then chuck it and then take off running if you need to. But that was kind of the game plan. The first half was great. Get it out of his hands. Get him out to the playmakers. Who'd you rather see with the football? Spears, Ridley, or Will Levis? Not Will Levis. You know, you want the ball on those guys who make plays down the field. So I think that was the template. I think it's going to be the template on Sunday, too. Get it out of his hands. Three-step drops. A lot of misdirection. Confuse the defense and move on.
Yep, 100%. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. We love your participation, whether you call, whether you text. Maybe you do both. We don't care. We love hearing from you. We got John McClain coming up at 9:30. Coach Derek Mason at 10 o'clock. That is all ahead here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Wednesday edition, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
How was Will today, and what's the balance in wanting to kind of learn from those mistakes and then trying to move on and forget about them?
There's no balance. I mean, you got to learn from them, and they're hard lessons to learn. And I think what's important is that everything about Will up to that point, you know, you don't know if you've made the progress or not until you play in a game. And those are just things that I was surprised that he did. The sack fumble, not much you can do about that. The guy comes free off his backside. He doesn't see it. He's getting ready to draw on the throw, and the guy rakes his arm. That happens. But the interception was a really poor decision. I know what he was trying to do is trying to do the right thing in that case, but sometimes the right thing is to take a sack. And then he should have done that in that particular case. They had a blitz on that wasn't expected in that area, and they won that rep, and we just got to not make a bad play worse and take the sack. So tough pill to swallow for him, tough lesson to learn. But he's got to learn it.
Head coach Brian Callahan at his weekly press conference on Monday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And, you know, one thing we talked about Monday that, you know, I wanted to see him mad, a little more emotion. I will say this. I'll give him credit here. I do think he's and I don't know if this is going to change, how this is going to work, you know, as he gets more comfortable and developed as a head coach. There is some honesty there, though. Like, you could hear it there that he was kind of like he wasn't throwing him under the bus, but he was like, yeah, it was a bonehead play, and he doesn't need to do it again.
Okay, but, you know, deliver that message Sunday when he does it.
I agree.
His ass immediately after that. Be mad at him. I don't see any anger from Callahan. Well, that's not the kind of coach he is. No, it's football. You got to get mad at these guys. You got a lot of fire under their tail. And I see no difference in his tone that right then than 2 weeks ago, than 3 weeks ago. By the way, may we say shut it down, because 0247 has the great reference to Levis's interception. He says, another Mayo reference, hell no, mans. Shut it down. 0247, whatever you're doing today, you're an absolute winner.
Hang on, you're going to say you say that's brilliant? You're going brilliant on that? That was your response?
It's brilliant. Hell no, mans? Yes. Hellman's? Yeah. Hell no,
yeah,
man.
No, I get it.
It's good, man. Well done, 0247.
I'm going to
What if 0247's Levis?
That'd be awesome.
And he's texting in.
I want to tell So now I sound like Jared, and this is, of course, about Jared. But I want to tell a story, and I don't know if I should. But Jared called me yesterday, was messing with me. He was going to mess with me. I'll just say it. I don't care. He calls me. He goes, I was going to mess with you and say that I just got served a lawsuit by Levis's parents about the stuff I was saying about him, and I wanted to see how you were going to react. And I laughed, and I was like, I probably would have, you know, just like,
cried?
Been mad, but also laughed at the same time.
That this is a broader topic. Could you sue for slander? I know you can't. Yeah. Jared's nowhere near that, but I'm surprised
he's a public figure
hasn't done that. You're not saying anything character wise that he's done, you know?
Right? No.
Now you know you can slander dead people.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't be sued by a dead person. Even the family, you can't be sued by them.
Right.
So you can slander dead people. Let's hope Will Levis lives to be 200.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I'm not. You know, all that. But yeah, I don't see a problem with all that. It's criticism.
Yeah.
And if we,
it's opinion.
If we blur that line of criticism and slander, we're done.
Right.
I mean, we're all society's done, man.
My response. My thought was. I don't think it's Levis's parents. It might be Skaronski's for your fat feet comment.
Oh, my Lord. Right? I mean, it was.
Which, Jared, I love you. A little bit of, I don't know. I mean, I got big feet. Like,
what size are your feet?
14.
That's where mine. Triple E. You know what they say about big feet, right?
Big socks.
Big shoes.
Big brain.
We all chimed in at once. Oh, yes. Oh, that's so
And
great.
That's why. That's why. That's why the people love this show.
That's right.
Why, right there.
I know it's tomorrow night, but I just saw a blip on the news. I mean, you got a big event tomorrow night, Jay.
Oh, yeah. So that was another thing. So I was talking with some people about doing something, and they were like, hey, what about Thursday? And I just very, like, nonchalantly, straight face, just go, oh, I can't. I got to MC the cow milking contest at the fair.
You do.
And they were like, wait, what? You have to do what?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, Joe can't do it this year, so I'm MCing the cow milking contest at the fair.
It's a fun there's a lot of pressure doing
I'm
that.
Glad I'm not doing it this year because it's difficult.
It is difficult, and it's just weird, man.
Here's the thing.
Never
like,
milked a cow before.
Right. So last year, I was paired up with Jackie DePilar from Fox 17, which was great because we were just, you know, cheering each other on. You were hosting. I had never milked a cow before, and so I put the videos on my Facebook, and, you know, I have family down in Mississippi that are on an actual farm with cows, and they're like, you mean to tell me that you grew up down here and we never had you milk a cow and never taught you how to do this? And I'm like, no, you guys failed me. Like, I needed this. But so I finally get the hang of it, and the milk starts coming out. Literally, like, we get done. I am leaning up, you know, from the cow, and she just
goes number two
everywhere. Like, had I been leaned over, it would have been a really bad turn.
And you're funny. You were, like, pouring sweat. And, like, everybody's like, pouring sweat. Because
it's a workout, man.
Yeah. And it's just, if you've never done it before, it's just, it's very weird when you're milking a cow like that. So, did you win? I don't remember who won.
No, we did not do well.
Okay. But you had a good time. So, you get to do it tomorrow night and you get to stand back and not have to worry about all that and have a good time with that. So, good for you.
Yeah. So, it'll be cool. Looking forward to that.
Excited?
I am. Sorry. We keep getting a text of people complaining about a show that's not on right now. So,
it's all right, though.
It's okay.
You're listening.
I keep getting distracted.
We appreciate it. We appreciate all that's listening with that. What's the Thursday night game? Dolphins and Bills?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Why so early? Why is that not the Panthers and Saints? Or, I don't know, who else is terrible? The Giants and the Panthers. I don't want to see a really good division matchup on a Thursday like that. Save that for weeks 10 or 12 or 13. I don't want to see that tomorrow night.
It's the NFL. That's what they do. They get those good games and put them in the primetime slots.
Yeah, and they'll eventually move to every night. I think they probably won't do Tuesdays or maybe Wednesdays, but they'll do Thursday through Monday. Problem with that's going to be Major League Baseball in the playoffs in October that play on Tuesday and Wednesday that don't want to compete with the National Football League. But it's coming. I mean, they want to own the world, you know, and the ratings back them up that people are going to watch no matter what and see what happens. I don't know how you could watch the Carolina Panthers. I don't.
Oh, God.
I watched the YouTube terrible. Highlights of that game versus the Saints, and it was and that might be the worst team I've ever seen in professional ranks. And I saw the 2014 Titans team, which was awful. This team's worse. And Bryce Young is no taller than you are. How tall are you, Dr. Frank?
Oh, you know, soaking wet, probably 5'5".
No way.
Yeah.
You're bigger
what
than
that. What does soaking
buddy.
Wet have to do with anything?
No.
That's your weight.
Well.
That's your height. Doesn't make you.
No.
Pour a bucket of water on you, you get taller. I don't
I
think that
hair.
Works.
My hair gives me about an
George
extra
Costanza
inch.
Had shrinkage.
They did.
Hey, he was in the pool.
He
all right.
Was in the pool.
He was in the pool.
He was in the pool.
I'm about five-ish, probably one. Right now, I'm at a 160 range, 165 soaking wet.
Well, I'd still take you over Bryce Young, who I think is going to go down as the worst number one pick of all. Jamarcus Russell is the worst pick at number one.
Now, I do have a rotator cuff problem, so that might be an issue at quarterback.
You can't say that on the radio because then people know that you got a weakness, and then they'll try to hit your rotator cuff.
I'm a running quarterback. True. I don't
so
care.
So you're Diego Pavia.
Yeah, let's do it.
Over at
I am the TJ Maxx version of a Trace McSorley.
I shop at TJ Maxx all the time.
Best place to go.
It is. Okay.
Trace McSorley, who replaced Will Levis at Penn State.
Oh, yes.
And then Malik Willis just replaced Trace McSorley in Green Bay.
Dr. Ken, look what you've done. You have make us come. You're a conundrum inside a riddle inside a pancake.
Shout out to Ricky for pointing that out. I can't take credit for that.
That's okay. No, do take credit for it. Yeah, nobody knows. Now, you know, I was like,
I'm
go
not,
Chase.
Look, I'm not a media outlet that doesn't get credit. Okay?
We already got one of those in town. One. Oh, you
we're
are
just
crazy.
We're just yeah, just strays everywhere.
By the way, Joe said pancakes. I had the best pancakes on Monday.
Did you?
I did. I made them myself.
Did you? Did you have pancakes? I didn't have any. Pancakes.
I didn't. And was yeah, this no. Nani? Your grandma made these?
This was myself. I made it for dinner.
Did you make it for Nani?
No, she had her
you
friend.
Son of a.
Her friend.
After all she's done for you in your life, and you couldn't make her a pancake.
Her friend was in town. Okay.
Oh, she's single?
Yes. Yes. Let's not go down that road. Yes. No, she had a friend in town, and they went out and about. They had lunch. They had dinner, and I got home. I was like, you know what? I'm hungry. I want some breakfast.
Good for you.
Hang on. This is what happens when we go down, when we're all over the place like we are right now, because I lose track of things. 8891 says, I don't want to see a good matchup on a Thursday night is the dumbest thing I've heard since whatever Jared said yesterday. What did you say that? You don't want to see a good matchup on a Thursday?
I don't. This early in the season. I don't want to see Bills Dolphins this early in week two. Give me them week 10 or 12.
See? Thursday night football is terrible. So what do you want to see?
Terrible teams on Thursday night football. Don't give
Why?
Me a good. Because I don't want to see it. I want to see that later on during the season. I want to see that week 10 or 11 or 12. I don't want to see it a week two. I don't want to see that on Thursday night football.
I'm going to be honest. I wish, like, early in the season, I wish they'd get rid of Thursday night football and just wait till later in the season like they used to.
How dare you say that?
I mean, but I mean, I know we're going to watch, but it's a terrible product.
It is. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see a good game like the Bills and Dolphins on a Thursday night. I'd rather see that on a Sunday night or Monday night football. I don't want to see it on a Thursday night. That's just me, right? You get the garbage teams out of the way early in the season. Get, you know, the Panthers and whomever else, get them out of the way the first 6-7 weeks, get them done with and gone. And then, you know, start giving me the good stuff. But the Bills and Dolphins is not a Thursday night game. I don't like it. For example, where did the when Mariota was here, where did the Jags and Titans always play? Thursday night. Because give every team gets a prime time matchup. Here you go. You guys are terrible. Get it out of the way. Boom.
All right. We'll ask John McClain. Plus, we'll ask him about the flip six, as we're going to call it. Do that and much more coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on a Wednesday. And every Wednesday at this time, we say hello to our good friend John McClain down in Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing a lot better than I imagine the Titans are after blowing that 17-0 lead. I felt bad for their defense. Man, oh, man, did the defense play well. I paid close attention to it because the Bears are coming here for the Texans home opener on Sunday night. And, boy, I thought the defense played great. But, man, oh, man, Will Levis, wow.
So what was your thoughts on that? On, I know everybody's going to focus on the interception and, you know, when he should have just taken the sack, and the flip six is kind of what we're referring it to here. But, you know, he had the strip sack, the fumble that happened. He had some misses that he made. Just what was your overall view on Will Levis in game number one against Chicago?
Well, first of all, in my 48 years covering the NFL, I haven't seen many cases where you could judge a season after the first game. Now, maybe in Carolina and the Giants, and there was some bad football being played, but Levis has shown he has what it takes, and he's now full-time starter. He's got to make better decisions. You know, Brian Callahan and his coaches are talking to him about protecting the ball. He'll never make a boneheaded decision again like that when he's being sacked. And I thought it was very interesting when you were seeing the run back and Levis is on his knees and he's got his hands on his helmet like, oh no, what did I do? And that's a learning experience. It's a hard learning experience because you hope they learn when they win. And it was tough, but I think I would feel great about the defense. Tony Pollard, as is most cases, not all, but most, when you undergo torn ACL surgery, it's the second year where you are where you were before the surgery. And he looked good. I think he averaged on over 5 yards of carry. And that bodes very well. But the passing game, I noticed the only guy on the team who averaged even 9 yards, I mean, who averaged more than 8 yards a catch was Ridley. And 22 of that came on that last drive. So you can't have Spears averaging 2 yards a catch as your leading receiver. So that passing game needs a lot of improvement. And everybody knows it. Now they're going against the Jets. The Jets coming off an embarrassing loss. They've got a good defense. I'm guessing the Bears' defense is good since that's where it ended up last season. But Levis has got to play better, especially in clutch situations, and he's got to do it starting Sunday because they don't want to start 0-2 at home, of course.
John McClain is with us. So back to something you said about Levis of – you know, that he won't make a boneheaded play like that again. And I hope you're right. My concern is they've tried, going back to the last coaching staff, they've tried to tell him to get down and to slide and to quit taking these hits, and he simply will not listen. Like, he just – and I wonder if he's ever going to get that. And so that's my concern. Can he listen to the coaching? Can he take the coaching? Is he learning from these mistakes? Or – are there just some things that he's just going to keep doing, especially when he's under pressure and he panics?
See, that's a great point, panic. You know, he's listening to him. Of course he's listening when they tell him, and I'm sure he's nodding. He's not going, no, I'm not going to do that. But then when he gets in those pressure situations, it's like it went in one ear and out the other. And if he continues to do that, he's going to get benched because it's obvious it doesn't work. You know, sometimes it'll work when he runs for yards. Sometimes it'll work because he's got a great arm. He'll cut loose. But when he is in the grasp of people going down, I guarantee you, no matter how much he says, I was trying to dirt it. No, he was trying to throw a pass and shot put. And I'll guarantee you he's not going to do that anymore because he knows how much it hurt the team. He knows how much it hurt him. He knows how much it disappointed his coaches because that's the exact thing they tell him don't do. Just take the sack. You know, throw it away. Live for another play. Don't try to make the hero plays. You're not in that position yet. And that gunslinger mentality helped him get drafted in the second round. But it's not going to work in the NFL if he doesn't show the improvement from the things the coaches are constantly harping on.
We're talking to our good friend John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, John, we turn our attention to this Sunday. The Jets come to town. They're 0-1. The Titans are 0-1. You know, one of the crazy stats in sports is when a team starts out 0-2, usually in the 16-game era, you know, you'd have like a 12% chance of making the playoffs. How vital is this game on Sunday to the Tennessee Titans?
Well, it's vital to both of them. Now, there have been teams that overcame 0-2 starts, but I think talking about the playoffs and the Titans at this point, considering they were last in the division, is kind of premature. But the Texans started 0-2 last year and reached the divisional round of the playoffs, and it can be done. But a big reason was because C.J. Stroud, you know, not turning the ball over and making big plays. And that's something Levis, he doesn't have to make all the plays, but he just can't hurt the team. That's the key. You know, just don't hurt your team, especially when you have the lead. So Robert Saleh's seat has got to be the hottest in the NFL. You know, Aaron Rodgers has everything he wants. He's got his offensive coordinators, one of the worst we've ever seen. That's going to be the undoing. Saleh's probably going to get fired if they don't make the playoffs. And they are desperate. And the way the 49ers played, they ran the ball so well. And the Titans, if they ran the ball that much, you know, as it was, they had 140 yards, averaged 5.4 a carry, and Levis was part of that. But they got to come out with a game plan to run the ball, and the Jets know that's what they're going to try to do. And, of course, they're going to try to put pressure on Levis, see if they can get him to panic again. And their defense, I'm not going to say it's better than 49ers because the 49ers are good, but the Jets are supposed to have a good defense. They certainly have the talent. So it is a pressure-packed game for both teams, but as I point out about the Texans, it's not impossible to go from 0-2 to making the playoffs.
What do you think Brian Callahan's message is to the team, not just Levis, John, this week, but overall message to the team as they do get ready for the Jets?
Forget about it. You know, that's the thing. Forget about it. They always tell them you celebrate or you sulk for the rest of the day, and then it's on to the Jets. Because you can't – you got to be like a cornerback. You get beat, you got to put it out of your mind, or you're going to get beat again. And they got a lot of new players. I'm not saying that happened, but when you have a lot of new players, new people doing anything, it's going to take a little time to incorporate them, especially when you didn't have a lot of time together in the preseason. I think a lot of the bad performances we've seen, especially with quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, is an offshoot of not playing in preseason. And this is almost for veteran starters. It's like their preseason. I know I thought that last year when the Texans, when they got beat at Baltimore and then came home and lost by 11 to Indy. And I thought, oh, my God, I wish I hadn't picked them to win six games. I wish I'd picked them to win four. And then they go to Jacksonville, win by 30 points. And I'm like, whoa. And I thought that was an aberration. And they came back and beat the pants off the Steelers. And then that's when I thought, well, this Stroud kid may have a chance to be special. And he was. So Levis has all the tools. You know, his problems between is above his shoulder pads. And he knows that. And the coaches know that. But if he doesn't make the kind of improvement mentally and do what the coaches want him to do, they'll be one of the many teams in the quarterback market after the season.
We're talking to John McClain down in Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. We'll have more with John coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 1063, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Perfect song to bring us back in. John McClain is with us from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. 23 years ago today, John, our country changed forever. What do you remember about the discussions after the tragic events of 9/11 leading to the cancellation of games that weekend and ultimately the rest of the season and what all transpired? But what do you remember about everything that happened in the days following?
Well, I remember that morning my wife on her way to work woke me and turned on the TV in the bedroom and said, "Watch this." And I opened my eyes and I see one of the towers burning. And I said, "What is this?" She said, "I don't know, but it's on every network." And so, of course, I was mesmerized like everybody else was. And then I wanted to know how it would affect, you know, the NFL, because that's what I covered. And at the time, the Texans hadn't started playing. They wouldn't do that till the next year. So I was traveling all over the country, including making a lot of trips to Nashville, covering the NFL. And I had an upcoming one like the follow, not the weekend after, the next weekend. And I always stayed downtown in Manhattan at the big Marriott at Times Square. And when I went, there was nobody at Times Square. I was just amazed. Everybody was inside, even at time later, and it was always packed there. And then there was this constant undercurrent of what was going to happen. And I remember Michael Strahan, who's from Houston, and Michael Barrow, who was the Oilers' second-round pick in 1993, who had signed with the Giants. They rode to work every day at Giants Stadium. And one of them, or they let a video guy go with them, who was in the car, but is the way their route they took after Strahan picked up Barrow. And I guess they were on the New Jersey Turnpike going to Giants Stadium where they practice. You know, they pointed toward Manhattan, and the remnants of the ashes and the smoke was still sky high. It just blew me away. But when I covered that first game, I can't remember if it was the Jets or the Giants, because both played there, of course. But I remember, man, it was quiet in the press box. Wasn't the usual constant noise, chatter that you hear, because it affected so many people. And since then, I've met so many people who left their jobs and good jobs and joined up because they wanted to fight terrorism, including a friend of mine who did 4 tours as a medic and has told some unbelievable stories about the war, and that patriotism still just blows me away.
John, I'm like you. I love the history of the National Football League, and I go back to this with Pete Rozelle when JFK was assassinated, how they played the games that following Sunday, and Pete Rozelle called that, you know, his most just gut-wrenching decision he ever made. And you look back, all that happened there, and the players thanked him for not canceling the games because they needed to get some normalcy back in there. So when you look at this, John, have you noticed that in times of things like this, we always look to football in a way to either make us feel better or to grasp onto it, or am I just missing this completely?
Well, first of all, both those tragedies happened during football season. Now, if they'd happened in, say, May or June or April, then it would have been up to baseball to see what they would do. And so I think sports is a common bond that unites people, and there's always going to be a faction that's critical of sports, a lot of them because they don't like sports to begin with, who are going to be critical if the games must go on. But I think it has a unifying effect on the public because they can talk about something else. And then in those games, of course, do tributes. And, you know, and they go, boy, some of the things that went on in NFL stadiums after 9/11 were absolutely incredible, the tributes that they paid. So I think, yes, it was good that the games went on.
Thank you for that. I knew you would know exactly what we're talking about. My last question for you, after week one reaction, can you identify the best team in the National Football League?
Well, there's two things I know right now after watching the first weekend of the NFL and second weekend of college football. The Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl, and the University of Texas is going to win the national championship. Without a doubt, there's no reason to play any more games because their fans down here, as I tweeted during the Longhorns' victory at Michigan, their fans are going to be insufferable, and they are. And Cowboy fans are always insufferable during the regular season. They keep their mouth shut in the playoffs. And I love to see all those Cowboy fans in Houston get their hopes up and then just get crushed in the playoffs. But there were some teams like San Francisco and Dallas that looked great. There were some teams that just looked horrendous, like Carolina and the Giants. And then a team, the biggest surprise to me, and it shouldn't have been because the Bengals always start slow under Zach Taylor. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow has a terrible record in the first two games of the season, but they let New England beat them. That one was terrible. Now, I'm not surprised Dallas won Cleveland game in Cleveland. I'm surprised they beat them up that bad. And then Deshaun Watson was booed off the field for another terrible performance. Then he gets hit by another lawsuit in Houston, not just from somebody that gave him a massage, but somebody she claims she was supposed to go on a date with him, and he sexually assaulted her in her apartment. So now everybody's looking to see how could the Browns use this as a violation of his contract to get out of paying him the $92 million they still have left to pay him. Now, that's not going to happen because he's going to say that never happened. And if they tried it, they'd get sued to kingdom come, and that would take years. But Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback he was here in 2020. Titans fans know it. They saw him from 17, when he had an incredible debut against them, through 2020. It looks like he doesn't want to play. A longtime member of the Cleveland media told me he looks like he's just forgotten how to play.
John, great stuff as always. We love these conversations with you, and enjoy week two. We'll talk next week.
Jason, Big Joe, thank you guys very much. Good luck to the Titans against the Jets. I'd love it if the Jets start 0-2.
For sure. John McClain, find his work, HoustonTexans.com, and he joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Coming up next, another Wednesday tradition, Derek Mason. Yes. No, not our Derek Mason. Coach Derek Mason from MTSU. We'll talk to him next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.